The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Beth Moore and her husband Keith share how they overcome struggles in their marriage.
We could be close and partner in the fact that we had an enemy in common, that the enemy wanted to destroy us, that there's something about that can make you bow up your back as a couple and go, my struggle is not with flesh and blood. It's not here. It's this unseen force of evil.
Overcoming the enemy to live in love. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty, and this is Jane.
Well, we are talking to Beth Moore and to her husband, Keith. and some of you will say that is a real privilege to get to see both of them together. As a matter of fact, in their relationship, they have experienced challenges and tension in two strong personalities. And Betty and I, as we share in the book, Living in Love, which we're talking about. And by the way, if you'd like to have the book, of course, it's in the bookstores. We will send it to you. We will mail it to you if you'll simply help us drill 415 water wells. You say, you expect me to do that? No. Give a cup of water. Help us. As an example, $48, and we are able to give 10 people water for the rest of their life. Some of you say, boy, I wish I could have that where I live. Well, this is a gift that just keeps giving. And we're asking you to help us do that. But we want you to have the book, Living in Love, and we'll gladly send it to you to say thanks. We'll also send you an incredible book, wonderful study, Praying God's Word. And I know many of you are facing challenges right now, perhaps in your marriage, perhaps in relationships, and perhaps just challenges because of the economic instability and uncertainty. And Betty and I have been praying a lot together for people who need a job, need an opportunity. And you know what we've said over and over? You want your prayers answered? You want your needs met? Now, this is God's promise. This is not some government grant or promise. God says, when you care for the hungry, when you care for the suffering, I will answer quickly. I'll hear you. You'll become a well-watered garden. You'll become an ever-flowing stream. That's what God says. And He will meet your needs. Well, Betty and I are talking about relationship. And you know, one of the things in marriage is the challenge of finances, rearing children, all of those things that come. And then the enemy. We talk about that invisible force. You'll want to get the book. But let's join Keith and Beth Moore as they talk to us. And Beth was excited about the book and what she read. So let's join that time that we had them right here with us talking about the subject, living in love. It's possible for all of you. Here's what I want us to do as we wrap. I want to talk about the invisible force.
That's where I wanted to go.
That is fiercely focused on destroying your relationship. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up before we go there? And we're going to track right through this.
Well, I did think that I just had to make a note about Princess. Because when he was saying earlier that we're such dog lovers, boy, are they too. We really met our match. And I loved it when you were talking about, just find that sticker in the paw when they've got their little black dachshund Princess, and how it may seem so painful at the time trying to pull it out, but once you get it out, then they're free.
But see, and when she comes in there with a little paw up like that, and I go, here she is, you know, she's so pitiful. And you approach him, and he's got a sticker. I don't say, stupid dog, you dumb dog, how did you do that? Don't you know, stay out of there? How many times have I told you, don't do that? Now, does that look like some of your conversations with the other person with a problem? Stupid. I learned that watching Beth and Keith.
Oh, scared to know which one was which.
We'll let the people figure that one out. But what I do is I love it.
I just wanted to see if you're still respecting me.
Are you confessing, or are you going to say something?
I just wanted to see if you're still respecting me. That's all.
What we do, though, is we lovingly invite them over to help them get it out. And that really is, that's the way the prodigal's father was. And we need to be like the father of the prodigal in our hearts. Let's talk about this invisible force, this unseen force. Powers, principalities, rulers in the realm of darkness, in that deception, trying to bring darkness into relationship, trying to deceive. Accuser of the brethren, the enemy Satan is called in the Revelation. He accuses the family, and he'll get the family accusing each other. Watch how the siblings, watch how your children, by the way, there's a lot in the book on rearing children, because that's one of the challenges in life, a lot about finances, about all the issues. But this issue of this intruder who comes in to accuse, look how the siblings accuse each other, at each other. It happens in relationship. We didn't understand. I didn't understand the spirit of lust. I didn't understand what I would actually call kind of familiar spirits, where people have a problem here and here and they kind of identify. That's why a lot of counseling sessions, if they don't have godly oversight, people just start matching up with their problems.
Oh, that's good.
Because these spirits attract magnetically.
That's good.
There's a lot of things in the spiritual realm that's going on. And for instance, I didn't have any problem saying, man, there must be a spirit of lust or something, when I said, but man, nearly destroyed me. In the spiritual realm, you got to watch out like a man. I point this out. If you're strong and you're sensitive, you're attractive to other women who never had that in their father or their present husband or their past husband. And this wrecks a lot of churches. It wrecks a lot of ministries. And nobody may intend fault, but you've got to understand there's a subtlety going on out here that's very deceptive, very crafty. Well, in relationship, you can have this accusing spirit, or you can have a spirit, let's say, of compulsion, compulsive spending, irrational spending, bad decisions, chasing after something you never get, thinking possessions is meaning in life. Those can be spirits driving that, like a spirit of addiction. A lot of people come in families where there's an addictive, compulsive spirit. Betty had a spirit of what that really kept you kept?
Fear. Absolutely. It paralyzed me. I was afraid of everything, afraid of life. Just wanted to go crawl in a corner and sit there and let life go by. And it also had a lot of other things tied to it, insecurity.
Yes.
And surprisingly, pride, because I put up a wall, a defense, and I let pride come in too.
You had a spirit, you said a performing spirit.
Performing, oh, definitely.
Live up to be accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Approval.
Yes.
The approval.
People think, in Christian circles, we think rule-keeping and looking like everybody else is pleasing to God. And instead of being Christ-like, we become like them. You can almost find denominations at the restaurant by how they all look. You can tell, they've been to that church. They don't look like Jesus. They look like their own little crowd, their own little light under the bushel.
Help us.
We need such freedom and distinctiveness. The enemy will literally take you captive and say rule-keeping, rather than in performing, rather than being in relationship. My friend Dudley Hall told me the story of a boy that was taken into a family, and all the way up to about 5 or 6, they made him stay under a shed. And the rest of the family would sit around. Mm. And sometimes late at night, because they would shove him food under the shed, he said this boy would go up to the window and he'd put his face up out in the dark close to the window, and he'd look at him sitting around the table and he'd think, I wonder if I'll ever get to go in there. And then he said, the sad thing is what Dudley said, the sad thing is a lot of people who've been invited in, they still have the mentality that they're out there under the shed,
yes,
wanting to get in and not realizing, yes, that they're in. And they have this orphan spirit on them, and then this performance spirit. They don't ever know what it is to be a child of God. And see, that's the thing that amazed Betty with me. That's how she became a Christian, is here I had nothing, but I fell in love with Jesus, and she could see it. And Jesus was so real to me. But you know what, Beth? I've always known from the time of God, I'm his kid.
Yes.
He's crazy about me. And I see churches filled with people who still don't know they're a child of God. I really do come and die, and he prepares a table before me in the presence of enemies. But there was a time
when, as a
Christian,
James,
I was pushed down, and she was pushed down and didn't realize it. See, but I do know I'm his child. I just didn't know who was jerking the strings and had this hook and jerking me around like that. That is the enemy trying to tear people apart and take control of them.
But you know what, James? That's where people really need to hear your story, because when you say, I knew I was his child, Betty, we three know that's a miracle, mm-hmm. because you came from such a broken life where the parenting role was concerned as in your childhood, that it is amazing. That is such redemption to just hear you say, but I knew I am his child.
I know at this moment sitting right here.
Oh, yes.
How
yes.
do you advise people to deal with this hidden force? Let me just ask you again, you know, Bible teacher and go everywhere. Does the enemy ever try to attack you anymore now that you're so in the Word?
We were laughing. We were so glad that you guys did the book. I'm looking at this because this is where I've taken my notes. We were so glad you guys had done the book because people had asked us if we were ever going to do anything on marriage, and we laughed and said, we don't know if we could survive it because we do just fine until I start to prepare something on marriage, and then it seems like it all goes somehow up into oblivion. But y'all were laughing and saying that you, even as you were putting it together and walking through it, you thought, okay, well, we might have a fight before this is over.
Might have a divorce. Right?
You did say that, but I was afraid to say that for you. But I just loved it because he does not want us to give the message of restoration and reconciliation. He does not. So, of course, as you guys began to bring this message that everybody needs so desperately and every couple needs to have, of course, he was going to try to do everything he could to get in the middle of it and to stop it from happening. And we found that to be true, that once we began to really have our eyes open to the fact that we could be close and partner in the fact that we had an enemy in common, that the enemy wanted to destroy us, that there's something about that can make you bow up your back as a couple and go, my struggle is not with flesh and blood. It's not here. It's this unseen Absolutely. Force of evil that's come to wreak all sorts of things that God has built up in this family and to bring it to absolute disintegration. That kind of makes you get together because you know that the enemy is doing everything he can to split you up.
You know, we dealt very thoroughly in the book, and time, you know, permits us from going through all that. I'd even like to, but Beth, I'll tell you, you wrote a best-selling book, Breaking Free. You open the eyes of a lot of people to the reality of spiritual warfare. When we put in this book, the spiritual warfare chapter dealing in this invisible force that comes against us, very important you understand this. It's not focusing on the enemy. It's resisting him and he'll flee from
That's
you.
Good.
Not ignore him. Mm-hmm. He won't flee. I mean, you most people resist their flesh and reckon the enemy dead. The Bible says, reckon your flesh dead and resist the enemy. It's force that you resist with. And in this chapter, we were very, very thorough. And Betty gets so specific that she actually tells about what happened in the spiritual realm. It's very graphic. Ready to read. She says, sweet little girl saw this thing. Hollywood could never outdo what she saw. When she was actually fearful about the freedom and fullness in my life that she had prayed for years, and God answered her prayers. And then the fear that came, she got to see it, and we deal with it very, very thoroughly. Here was the impact of this. I was working at the time, Beth, with Tyndall's top editor, even though I was doing this for Random House and to be published through Waterbury, which is one of the inspirational arms of that publishing company. And I'm working with Dave Lindstad, who's just absolutely brilliant. What a scholar and person who just edited and read and contributed so much. And he said, James, I'm so interested in what you're sharing and the insight that if you ever write a book just totally on spiritual warfare, I wish I could be a part of it. And he just kept asking questions. This man's brilliant. He's been taught to be very skeptical. And he comes from that very fundamental, conservative, theological background that would tend to be skeptical and even encourage the skepticism, but there was nothing there but hunger and a deep appreciation.
So
Beth, I believe what we get to share here, and just like what you've been able to share, we do not focus on the enemy. We look unto him. But if we look unto him and realize that this struggle, this battle, all of this conflict that can come, it didn't just come out of us. All of our thoughts are not our own. Some of them are fiery darts, suggestions by the enemy, not just the influence of the world, but there's suggestions and thoughts. You know you could. You know they did. You know they meant it. You know they're not sorry. And it becomes a fiery dart. It lodges. And then it begins to be a tormentor because you can't release it and you find yourself held captive and tormented by the inability to forgive. The enemy is working on people where they're not forgiving. They're holding a grudge. They're separated. I believe that understanding this is critical to people in their relationship to really have what God wants them to have. We don't focus on the enemy. We recognize the truth. We put on the armor of God, and we can walk over the enemy like dust. We'll still be in the fight, but we're well equipped to win. Make sense?
Oh, I love what you said, that we don't resist. We die to our flesh, but we resist the enemy instead of having it the reverse way. I thought that was so profound. And what we end up doing, if we just focus on Him, listen, all worship is, in its essence, is focus. When we worship God, if we're in a worship service, we're focusing upon Him. And we can do that with the enemy. If we get all obsessed with the fact that there is this thing called spiritual warfare, we can end up putting so much focus on Him instead of resisting what He's doing in us, that we can lose our footing and we can lose our balance. And that's what you guys have shown over and over again. Keith and I loved when we first got to know you guys a number of years ago. We felt safe in that there was a balance, that even though you were so aware of the powers of the invisible realm and the principalities, that your feet were solid on the rock, that you were people that knew the Word of God. You knew the power that He could bring. You knew what He could do in the heavenlies. But you walked in such steadfastness of His Word. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And it's all over the book, because it's solid. It's just solid. It's solid scripturally. It's solid experientially.
You're sitting here because you sense that presence. And Keith, you remember the first time she came home after being up here with us, Kathy Tricot didn't invite you to come. Then when the two of you came back, her comment was, and this really makes the point that I think we can just conclude with in what we're trying to say about spiritual warfare. When Jesus comes in fullness, peace fills the house. This is the house. Mm-hmm. But that manifest presence of God, that peace. Your wife came home and said, I felt peace. When the two of you came back, I felt peace. You confirmed that peace because you confirmed it to me. Do you agree that's the peace that passes understanding that God wants to prevail in every relationship? Isn't that what people need?
Yes, that's when He's the prince over our lives. He brings that yoke of peace and joy.
You want to add to that, Keith?
I think that sums it up pretty well.
Did that sum up what you felt? It changed her direction in so many ways.
She should think about speaking.
Would you say thanks to Beth and to Keith for sharing with us?
Praise the Lord. We loved it. We loved it.
And thank you. Get the book, Living in Love, because, listen, it isn't just Betty and James and Beth Moore and Keith want you to live in love. God wants you to live in love. And He is the love you live in. He's the enabler to enable you to live in love. You know, I really hope you're enjoying us just talking and sharing together. I pray you are, because, you know, we really want to help you in your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse and with your family. And we'd love for you to get the book, Living in Love. As a matter of fact, if you would simply help us literally give a cup of water to someone in need, help us drill these wells, whatever part you can play in fulfilling God's heart, we just want to say thank you. And I want you to watch as Betty and I are observing needs in a desperate situation where all they need is fresh water and we can provide it. Listen with your heart. Can you believe this?
James, this is unbelievable, just incredible. They're trying to wash this plastic so it can be clean enough for them to sell it so they can make money to provide for their family, to buy just the necessities, food, anything to survive. But yet then they'll come later, dip this water up and drink it. Think about it. Every time you go to the sink to get a drink of water, do you look in it to see if there's any contamination in it? Do you look in it to see if anything's crawling around? Of course you don't. Well, these people see that day after day after day. They don't have to examine it. It's just so evident. As you look around here, all the garbage is just incredible. But yet that's all they have, and you have to have water to even survive for a little while. And when these babies are born and this is all they have, how do you think their chances are for making it to adulthood? That's where we can make the difference. So please join with us. Let's give them those water wells so they can have the clean water.
Well, I don't think there's a question that, any question that you say, James, that's horrible. It's just, you can't imagine that. And you know, we see some situations that it's extremely difficult to address. There's no simple solution. But when people need fresh, clean water that we take for granted, thank God we can in the advanced countries of the world, but they have no clean water. Mm-hmm. And as you were saying there, Betty, when you look and see it, it just turns your stomach. But we can give them in that very area, with the help of our viewers, we can give them fresh, clean water well, and really it's a gift that lasts the rest of their lives.
Well, you know, James, we are so truly blessed here. I mean, we do. We have such wonderful conveniences of life. We don't have to worry about the things that they have to worry about so many times, but especially the water. It just makes my heart ache when I see the things that these babies are putting into their system. Why? Because they don't have another choice. Well, I want to be a part, and I feel like you do too. Let's give them a choice for clean, pure water.
Well, and the way we do it is joining together and asking as many of you as possible to drill a well. Betty and I have now, for more than 10 years that we began drilling wells, we have given a well every time. And we drill wells twice a year when we come to you and ask for help. I can remember when we saw how great the need was, and our missionary said, "You can't imagine the profound impact it's having. We've got to continue doing this. It's saving so many lives, and we're winning so many people to Christ." Well, Betty and I talked. And we said every time we drill a well or we have that emphasis, we're going to give one. Now, that was quite a stretch for us to do that. And you may remember when we started, they were $3,600. Now it's $4,800. And we've been doing it. But here's what I know. We have seen God fulfill His promise that when you literally become an answer to the need of the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, and as Jesus said, give a cup of water, you will not miss God's reward. You are going to be blessed. He didn't promise anybody a money tree. He promised to meet our needs. And that's the testimony of people all over the world who tell us, thank God we've had a part in that. Now, here's what I'm asking you to do. I want you to dial the number. If your heart was broken, you needed prayer, you want someone to pray for you because you're in a challenging time, we'll do it. We want to help you. That's why we're here every day. But I'm asking you to call today to say, I want to help drill those wells. Could you drill a well? Could you give 10 people water the rest of their life? A gift of $48 will do that. $48, 10 people water the rest of their life. This is a single gift that just keeps giving. $144 will give 30 people water the rest of their life. Can you do that? Father, I pray everyone who can will right now. See those 10 people, 30 people, that they can give water to the rest of their life in Jesus' name. Do you know that some of you right now, you in particular, you know God has blessed you and put it in your heart to give a well. They're $4,800. If God put it on your heart, I'm asking you, follow that impression. There may be some of you that say, James, I can't do that, but I have been blessed. I could give $1,200 or I could give $2,400 and pray somebody will join me or three people join me. Every gift is critically important. You just think about it. If someone doesn't have clean water, and I'm going to give those people water the rest of their life, help them deal with the diseases that come because of contaminated water. Put a fresh water source right in their midst. You think that doesn't make the work of the missionaries so much easier when they can not only talk about the love of God, but people have seen it? Would you dial the number right now? Take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org. Please let us hear from you today and make the best gift you possibly can.
Water. Without it, life as you know it cannot exist. But for millions of children and families, their only available water is filled with disease and once ingested can lead to death. But one new water well can turn the most barren desert into an oasis of life. With your donation today, Mission Water for Life can drill 415 water wells this year in 15 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will provide for 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, uncontaminated water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any size, we'll send you Living in Love, James and Betty's new book that shares keys to an exciting and fulfilling marriage. You'll also receive Beth Moore's best-selling book, Praying God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this beautiful leather journal to record and reflect on your own personal times with God. And finally, with your gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture representing God's fatherly love for us as His children. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I look at these little kids right here, and they represent children around the world. It doesn't matter if it's in China, it doesn't matter if it's in India or Africa or in America. Children deserve a chance at life. That life today comes in a basic need that we call water. I don't know if you can see behind me a cow standing in the water. To the right of me, mothers are washing clothes, and all of this is washing downstream. Kids are drinking from it and they're dying from it. Did you know that over 10,000 people die every single day? Doesn't mean much to you until you go into a hospital like I was and I watched two little girls where death is knocking at their doorstep. I want to lock that door. I want to come back. I want to shut the cisterns. I want to bring life to this country. I want to bring life around the world through water well projects and clean, fresh water. We can do that today if you'll join us. If you'll partner with us and give your best gift and go to the phone today, we can make a difference. The missionaries are standing by. The rigs are here. We're ready to get to work. Won't you get involved today and join with Life Outreach International and James and Betty in providing water for life for children around the globe.
We've heard from so many of our friends who said, James, you'll have no idea what living in love, the story of your journey and your marriage and what God has shown you, His insights, what it's meant to us, changed our lives. We'd like our friends to have it. Well, some of you may not have gotten the book. Some of you may have got it, wanted it for a friend. We're sending it for any gift to just help us share water. So please make the best gift you can. Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word, for any gift. We've got the beautiful journal for those of you who can and will help us and make a special gift of $100 or more. And then the Father's Heart bronze. I believe with all my heart, when we join together, we're putting God's arms around the world in need. They are seeing God's heart. Thank you for your help. Encourage your friends to watch, and you can spend your life living in love and sharing that love.
Next week, Women of Faith speaker and author Lisa Harper.
I tell people I'm not fixed, but I'm freer than I ever dreamt that I could be.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.